Morning, Zion. Happy New Year to you. Ready for another year? No? Okay. Let's chat. I brought down my chatting chair here. Imagine you having an opportunity to have lunch with someone really famous. What would you do? What would your schedule be like as that lunch approached? Like you and maybe two other friends. It's not like you're going to a luncheon with 1,500 people to see the president or athlete or a musical star, but it's just a very intimate time. Would you change your schedule for that? Would you move things around? Would you make it a priority? Maybe buy new clothes? And just, it's going to be such a big deal. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Let's bring it similar idea here. Let's say Taylor Swift was coming here. Now some of you might not care about Tay-Tay and so forth, but let's say she's going to have lunch with five students from Carn City High School. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of interest in that, wouldn't you think? And there'll be a kind of a lottery thing to see who gets picked. You think those kids are going to make some time? Again, not just her and a bunch of other people, like five friends you could take. Hey, it's me. You know, it's me and Tay. We're together, you know, and doing all that. And boy, but what if they had... What if they had a game? Or what if they had music practice that during that time? You think they would change their time and schedule? Yeah. Folks, we want to offer an opportunity better than any human being next month. We're going to do something we've never done before, especially as a month long, but we're going to have an appointment. And yeah, part of it's Sunday, but it's also during the week for us all. Let's get into the word a little bit. What are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God. And what's number two? Love your neighbors. So love God, love others. Right? Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Now, it's one of those times where they're trying to trick Jesus. And I don't know how many commands there are in the Old Testament, right? I mean, there's so many of them. They were really big on the Sabbath laws and so forth. And so they're trying to get Jesus to suck him into the controversy because chances are whatever answer he gives, he's going to really affirm some and tick a lot of people off. But they ask him, they say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" And he, that is Jesus, said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Strike from Deuteronomy. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Well, they didn't ask him what the second one was, but he's going to give it to them anyway. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he adds this little commentary. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So do you want to obey all the rules, you Jewish people, the whole Old Testament? These two commandments are referred to as umbrella commandments. In other words, if you do these two, if you obey these two laws, you're going to almost by default automatically follow all the other laws of the Old Testament. They're linked as well. The first one, he said, is love God. Love God. He doesn't say do loving things for God, but he says love God. Now, we love lots of things, right? We could say we love our spouse, or we love pizza, or we love seeing Baltimore lose. I mean, there are lots of things that we could say that we love. But the command is not just do loving things or act a certain way. It's from the heart. And I've always scratched my head a little bit about that. It's like, well, how do you love? How do you feel that love? In a, you know, as a command, I want to obey it. I can't just see someone or love something just by, you know, how do you do that? But that's the command. There's an expression that I love. It's part of the pun. That if I could open up the scriptures again and add a line, this is the line. I really like this expression. And it's, we invest in what we value. So if I love God, I'm going to be giving him my as much time, as much energy, as much money, as much thought and attention as I possibly can. Do you ever know someone who just really loves maybe an activity? Maybe it's golf. Maybe it's hunting. Maybe it's crocheting. Maybe it's their grandkids. Maybe it's their tropical fish tank. And it's like all they do. It's all they manage is that focus because they value it. We invest in what we value. Well, what if that were God? How do we love? How do we do this? We can't just conjure up obedience. There are some things that we can practically do to help feed that love. And that's kind of where we're going in January. But let me give you an example. I used to live in the Pacific Northwest, specifically the northwest corner of the state of Oregon, one of the wettest places to live in our country. I hate rain, too. It was also the worst for me to live for my allergies because I'm very allergic to grass seeds and grasses. And that is the grass seed center, if not the country, the entire world. Comes from the Willamette Valley. Well, when we first moved there, we moved there from California, and we noticed in the fall something happened to the skies. Again, very clean area to live, lots of, you know, wind going through there, very little pollution. But every fall, the sky would just turn orangey brown because they were burning their fields. And we asked people, what's going on? Why are they doing this? And it was a controlled burn. The farmers, the grass seed farmers, would actually go through, or they'd hire someone out. They're kind of like our version of snow plowers. You know, it's kind of a seasonal thing where the grass burners would come out and they would put oil and have, you know, a big tanker, small tanker for you know, in case the flames got out of hand. But everyone's doing it for about a 2-week period, and that's why the sky would turn that orangey brown. If you've ever been near a forest fire, it's the same kind of look. But we said, why are they doing this? I said, well, it did several things. One is it would burn the weeds, because they had a weed called tansy. It was a very woody kind of weed. And they had to verify that when they sold their grass, especially for hay, it was tansy free. Well, one of the ways to make it free from tansy, which was poisonous to animals, is you would burn the field. It would burn the tansy. It would also burn all the bugs and critters and all the other things that are going to hurt their harvest in future years. Then the other thing it did is as it burned all this old grass and stub, that then turned around and became fertilizer. So if you're a smart grass seed farmer, you would burn your fields every year. But it's radical. It's intense. It's like, wow, that sounds like a pretty extreme thing to do. But for them, it was normal. We need to burn our field. We need to do something that might seem kind of crazy. Like, why is everyone doing this? But, you know, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at the New Testament, it really is a lot more normal than we think. How do we burn our field, so to speak? In other words, to love God. We do it so many different ways. One is by listening. When God speaks, we talked about this in our D group today, when God speaks that our heart is ready to hear. Sometimes people think the Lord or the Bible or sermons or Christian books, they're kind of like a smorgasbord or a buffet, where it's like, I like this command, this one, and this one, but not that one. But God wants our hearts to be tender and ready to hear, even if it kind of bothers us a little bit. To burn our fields, we don't just listen, we also worship. Now, we generally, as American Christians, when we think of worship, we think of the music side of it. But that's really, again, biblically, only a small part. Yes, well, I shouldn't, not too small of a part, because really the book of Psalms is a book of worship songs. We have the lyrics. So I guess it's pretty big, but it's not the only way that people worship. It's also learning. As we get to know, think of that couple that just meet and they're just starting to wonder, is this one the one? And you start learning about them and you got to wonder, you know, what sports teams they like and how they celebrate Christmas and are you compatible? And you start to learn things about them. And sometimes a couple feels, I don't know if I could live with that. Or they think, oh, maybe I can. Or they think, wow, we're just alike in that area. We can learn about God. The more we learn about him, the more, let's say this correctly, the easier it is to love him. He's so lovable. We have to develop a heart like John the Baptist. He said in John chapter 1, and John was a great guy. He was the prophet. He was the one. I don't know if you noticed this around the Christmas season last week. People said, well, the cry of Jesus is the first sound that was made for 400 years. No, it wasn't. It was the prediction of John the Baptist was the first revelation from God in 400 years. And John was older. And so John's cry and the prophecies of his parents, that came long before Jesus was born. Sorry to mess all that up for you. But he was great in the kingdom of God. You know what he said? He said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. Because John got it. John understood who this Jesus was. We need to have that kind of idea. We focus on the Lord. We focus on the Word. We need to be willing to grow closer to God. You know, I've mentioned this before, but in the Old Testament, when the people were on the Exodus, they didn't want to talk to God themselves. They said, Moses, you talk to him, and then tell us what he says. Moses, you pray to God, and then let us know. God wants intimacy with everyone, all his followers. But he could be a little intimidating, don't you think? How would you feel being invited into the Oval Office, regardless of who the president is, or someone important, or the big boss? My dad used to work for a small company called Hewlett Packard. And he met Hewlett and Packard one day. His heart was just beating inside him. Turns out they're regular guys. But God can be intimidating. I love C.S. Lewis's description of God, where it says he's not safe, but he's good. So we have that little intimidation of getting to know the Lord. But I got to tell you, everything that we would do or think or pursue to get to know the Lord is worth it. He is worth it. Every ounce of energy, every prayer, every time we come to a gathering to learn about him, every song we sing, whether it's on the radio, everything moment where we cry out to him in desperation or repentance or obedience, it's worth it. He is worth it. Well, that's the love God command. But the other one is loving others. And as I said, it's a natural outgrowth, and they're linked. Those two commands, love God, love others, are linked. If you say, well, I love God, but I don't love other people, Jesus will say, what do you mean? You can't do that. Because I love other people. How can you say you love me and you don't love other people? How can you do it? It doesn't make sense to God if it's possible to say that about God. You have to love others if you love God. And you can't just say, well, I love other people, but I don't love God so much. It's like, well, how can we truly love others in a pure sense without God helping us do that? As we love God and love others, we adopt his priorities. God loves the most despicable, awful, terrible people on this earth. The ones that cause me to feel just filled with great rage and anger. But Jesus says, I still died for them. I did. Well, here's our plan for January to help us develop, I guess we would say cooperate with these two commands. It's a unique opportunity. Each Sunday, there are four Sundays in this particular January, we will not have planned music. Doesn't mean we won't sing. We're just not playing. We plan the songs. Laura picks the songs and we plan them, we rehearse them. We're not going to do that. There won't be a planned sermon. We're not going to record anything either. And I got to tell you, that one stings a little bit because of all my parts of my position and my job, so to speak, I love the sermon stuff. I mean, from the moment I start studying and getting a message ready to the point of delivering it, I love it. It's, sorry to say, it might sound weird, but it's true. It's fun for me. I don't get to preach for a month. Well, but that doesn't mean we're not going to learn. That doesn't mean we're not going to grow. In fact, we want to do something that many of us have not done for a while. Want you to bring your Bibles because there'll be nothing on the screen. Not that that's wrong, but bring your Bibles. We're going to use some scriptures, and by all means, you're not going to be limited to those. On the back table, back counter, there are all four Sundays are listed, and there are some scriptures that we're recommending. And you're certainly welcome to pull other ones as well. You're not, of course, not limited to those. But I want to encourage you to read those. Maybe if you want to, you memorize it. Maybe go to, but when you leave today, go to Dollar General and pick up one of those $1 journals and start recording what God's showing you and teaching you from those passages. And then during the week, if you got this newfangled thing called the internet, and there's this other thing on it called Facebook, and we have a page. We have a Zion and Petroleum Valley page. Maybe share, God taught me this. Could be just a one-sentence thing from this passage throughout the week. Maybe you'll look at one of those passages a day. Maybe one of those is just going to grab your heart so much you go, I want to read this every single day this week. And that's fine. Well, see, on one hand, we wanted to provide some kind of structure, but didn't want to like plan some regimental thing to do either. But spend some time with the Lord. Use those scriptures as well. And then bring those insights on Sunday. And we will sermon with each other what the Lord's teaching. Maybe a song will come to mind. We have some song books. And we'll sing, a cappella. Maybe 10. I don't know. But we'll also have those scriptures out and available on the chairs. So we can, if you want to read those, maybe say you did forget your Bible or something. But God will be revealing things. Again, if you get near him, if you learn more about him, he will reveal himself. God wants just to show you more of himself. And it's really up to us. Think of that parable. Now, I know Jesus is talking about the Word of God, but he says the Word of God is like seeds, and there's four kinds of soils. There's the hard soil, that when the seed hits the hard soil, the birds come along. That's like the enemy come and takes that seed away. No fruit, nothing. Then some other seed falls along some weedy soil, and it grows, it sprouts, but then it gets choked out by the other cares of the world. It hit me again, and I've shared this example before, of how much I spend thinking about food, when we're going to eat, what we're going to eat. It's like a care of the world. I know we need to eat, but it becomes like a care of the world that starts filling my heart and mind. But Jesus said, God's word, I'll think of it in a minute here. Let me get back to the parable. So there's two soils. The third soil is the one that falls on the rocky ground where it sprouts really quickly like the other one, but it has no depth. It never grows. But the last soil is thick and rich and deep. Now, we could do things to prepare a garden. We could pull the rocks out, pull the weeds out. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what I was trying to think of. We can't cause a seed to grow, but we can prepare the soil. So Zion, we're asking, praying, been praying for this for a couple months now at least, to say, actually longer than that, say, God, prepare our hearts to be deep, fertile soil. If there's some rocks, if there's some weeds, if there's something that we need to get correct with you, or just simply call out to him in love, in worship, let's do that together. Then we're going to ask you a little bit more. And this is a month-long focus. On Saturday night, you have dinner, and then fast until Sunday night. Fasting in the scripture has lots of different purposes, but what I can tell you personally, what it does for me is when I start feeling the pangs of hunger, that's like a reminder. Do you guys ever set reminders on your phones or at, you know, alarm clock or something like that, and to remind us, oh, I have something in the oven, you know, that kind of thing. We all do that. Well, let those hunger pains. And I'm assuming that's safe for you. If it's not, if you have dietary restrictions that would be dangerous for you to fast, don't. All right? But if you can fast, I would recommend drink water. But every time you feel a little hungry, just pray. Look at those verses. Remind yourself of them. Maybe journal. And no one's going to check. You're not going to get graded on this. This is not an assignment. It's between you and the Lord, and then you're going to bless us with what you learn. But every time you feel those pangs of hunger, use that as an opportunity for prayer or for worship or for reading. Pray according to the passages that you read. Then, and here's another real crazy part of this. At 5:00, come back here. Twice in one Sunday? Yes. Because then we'll break fast together. And time around the table. Hey, what did you learn? What did you pick up? What did the Lord say to you? Make sure you're biblical. But come join us for a potluck. We might get 14 trays of deviled eggs. And that's what we'll eat. Again, don't want to overplan things. Or bread or rolls, whatever. But join it, come back again. And think, oh boy, that's a lot of time. I want to say again, every moment you put to the Lord is worth it. He is worth it. And we'll do this for a month. Do it for a month. I don't want any of us to feel intimidated. You know, I'm one of the reasons why I like speaking before groups. And if you ask people what is the greatest fear that people have, speaking in public. I don't have that fear. I love it. You know why? Because I can keep you at bay and talk, being honest. But in a small group, I'm not in my element. I don't like that. Because then I have to share, I have to tell people about myself. I don't like that. I'm not comfortable with it. However, when I've been in those situations, it has been profitable and helpful. And I've been blessed by what other people have heard from the Lord. I needed to hear what that person said about what they learned about the Lord. Coming to church, folks, is not about just coming and hearing a sermon. If that were the case, we would just print it, you know, post it online, and we could all stay home in our jammies on Sunday morning. It's not just about coming to hear a message. It's being the church together. But don't be intimidated by it. If you're a little uneasy and you want to be quiet, that's okay. No one's going to make you talk. We're not going to do that. But don't be intimidated by that. The other thing that some people might say or think in their minds, maybe you're thinking this now, well, sounds like I'm taking January off. Please don't do that. I can, again, promise you that He is worth your time. Always. Always. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we don't know what this will bring. Maybe nothing. Maybe in the future we're going to look back and say, wow, that January 2026, that was a life changer for me. Maybe not. Maybe people will not come and be part of our church anymore. I don't know. But we know that You're worth it. We know that time with You. God, we pray that we can burn the field. Burn the fields of our heart. And while there are things we could practically do, we could learn, we could study, we could pray, it is a work of You, Holy Spirit, in our hearts and minds. And God, I want my heart, and I know there are people here sitting now that say, yeah, I want my heart to be ready, to be humble, to listen, and encounter someone so much greater than any human being who's ever lived, except for Jesus, of course. But You are worth our time. You are worth our worship. And so prepare our hearts and minds. Prepare us as we start maybe today or Monday as we look at the scriptures. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. I want to, as the worship team comes up, just want to let you know each Sunday has a particular word that's associated with it. And you'll see it on the sheet. The Sunday the 4th is upward, is the focus is upward, all right? The next Sunday, the 11th, is inward. And we're looking at ourselves, a little self-examination. The third word, that would be the 18th, that is within. In other words, thinking about the body of Christ. And then the last word is outward. And in fact, if you think about the songs we've done today, they focused on those four words as well. So please make sure you grab one of the packets. And none of it's fancy, folks. It's white paper, okay? I thought, there's no banner. There's nothing except being in God's presence. And please be open to His impact in your life. Please be open. So make sure you grab one of those. There are plenty of copies. And then I'll also send it out on email just in case. If you miss a Sunday, you miss a Sunday. And quite frankly, you're probably going to miss out. Do your best. I know things come up. But we've adjusted our schedule. We thought there were things, oh, we could do this or take care of this. And no, we need to be there for January. So there's one more announcement. And Trish is going to come up. And this is for you, ladies. So I'll let her do that. I think Laura has a microphone. Would you use that, please?